In the book of Galatians in chapter 4, we have here, out of this passage of Scripture, four words. The fullness of the time. The verse reads like this: but when the fullness of the time was come. Notice that the fullness of the time means the completion of that time. And the fulfillment of that time God had looked forward to of a long time, because this takes us back to the very first prophecy ever made in the Bible. And the first prophecy was made by the Almighty God 4,000 some years prior to the fullness of the time. In other words, God looked forward to the coming of His Son to be man's deliverer, redeemer, and fetter breaker, and Satan's work destroyer. All of us by nature are children of wrath. We are at enmity against God. We are enemies of God by nature. And only the Almighty God, as we go to the first prophecy in just a moment, could do what He did do to change our nature. The Lord God in that first prophecy said, I will put enmity between thee. He's talking to and speaking to the serpent, who is the devil. I will put enmity between thee and the who? The woman. Between thy seed, the serpent's seed, the devil's children, and her seed. And in this enmity that God put is not a natural thing to us by birth. We are by nature in harmony with the devil. And we're not at odds with him. We're not walking contrary to him. It says that we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh where? In the children of disobedience. The spirit of Satan works in the sinner, children of disobedience. And only Almighty God can put this enmity in our heart toward the devil, because before we're saved, we're buddies with him. In fact, the matter, when I've heard people rear up at me and say, you ought to not say the unkind things about the devil as you have said, I can pretty well tell in whose family they are and who they're buddying up with. But after we're saved, the enmity begins to manifest itself. I haven't got a good word for old Slewfoot. And I want you to know this morning that he is my adversary, and he is yours if you're a child of God. He said, your adversary, God's word said, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. How could you buddy up with a devourer? Seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, that means persecutions and troubles coming hot and heavy, thick and fast, same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in this world. Let's look at the word of God. Galatians again, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. He sent him. Jesus said, I didn't come of myself, but he sent me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice it now. And he is made of a woman, made under the law, for what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law. We needed redemption. That The ultimate purpose then not only to redeem us from under the law, but to make us the children of God, that we might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. God wanted us back in the family. We became alienated because of our sins. And being alienated from God, he said, at that time ye were without God, without hope in this world. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But I want you to know this, that once I was an alien, but now by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I've been adopted into the family of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And in the adoption of sons and daughters, he said, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth what? The Spirit of his Son. Where? On our shoulder? Where they get knocked off? No. In our hearts. Put him in there. And that Spirit into our hearts. And the result of his coming in there, we have a new language. We now call him Abba Father, my Father, Holy Father, because he now becomes our Father. Before that, we had another Father. I'll get into that in a little bit. Now for our context, I'd like to have you note with me the book of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. We're going back here to show you how exact God is in prophecy. I said in the beginning this morning that God's time clock is ticking right on schedule. Never misses a tick nor a tock. Go over there to the book of
Genesis in chapter 15. And here the Almighty God is speaking to Father Abraham. And he said to him in verse 13, Know of a surety that thy seed, that's Abraham's seed now, shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. Became eventually the land of Egypt, you know. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. God's got exactly the time in his foresight and his foreknowledge. This is history written before it ever happens. How did God know 400 years? Because God knows. And notice the language then. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Afterward, this is what's going to happen to them. They shall come out. How? With great substance. How will this ever be? If you studied on that same God who said this, the very night in which the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt and the firstborn were being killed off, the Egyptians said, let's get rid of those people. Give them any and everything they want. And as the children of Israel, God put it in their heart. Now this was their payday. They had worked now for over 400 years. The whole nation of Israel had served the Egyptian all that time and never got a paycheck. When they go to the Egyptians' home, they give them everything and anything that they want. They're loaded down. They came out with great substance, the Word of God tells us. God said that they would. And if you want to get the reference out, you go out there to Exodus chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, and chapter 12, and verse 35. Came out with great substance. And the marvelous thing was this, that when they went to the Egyptians' home, strangers, rang strangers to those people, it says this, that even a dog would not bark when those Jewish people came over there to collect their payday. You find out when a dog don't bark at a stranger, he got locked jaw, he's sick, or he's a dead dog. But I want you to know this, when God Almighty gave those dogs locked jaw, amen, and put out that enmity between them and strangers, you know this, that Almighty God, if he can even still a dog's mouth, he done something. Amen. He got the power. Now, God, now let's keep continuing the reading over here in verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy father in peace. That's talking about dear old father Abraham. And thou shalt be buried in a good old age. How old was he when he passed out of this veil of tears? 176. God says, good old age. That's not bad at all. Now listen now. The rest of the prophecy, coming back to verse 13, when they're going to be afflicted for 400 years, it says, but in, get that little dinky, tiny word, in the fourth generation, showing that it won't be slap dab right on 400 years to the day. It's going to be in the fourth generation. They shall come hither again for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, notice that in the fourth generation, go with me now to the book of Exodus and see how exactly this is fulfilled. We're going in the chapter 12, verse 41 and 42. And you're going to see in a moment why we're giving this to you. 41 and 42. I'll start with 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt 430 years. When God says in the fourth generation, the in was 30 years long in. Now watch next. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, listen to these words now, even in the self same day, God's time clock strikes in exactly the day. In the self same day it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. In other words, God, it is prophetic. I can see down the quarters of time to the exact day when they're coming on out. Everything on the schedule according to the divine plan. Now I'll go a little further into the lesson this morning. You're going to be able to see when we deal with, for instance, demons crying out when the Lord Jesus was over there to deliver a man from demonic possession. The demons cried out and said, art thou come to destroy us before the time? In other words, demons know when the sentence is coming upon them. Before the time? Are you coming to do it now? We know when it's supposed to be. This is not it. Jesus said to the children of Israel, because you knew not the time of your visitation, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Notice it, the time of your visitation. God has a time to visit every man and every woman, every boy and every girl, for he is the true light that lighteth every one that cometh into the world. We'll get a visitation from God. He limited it to a certain time, and David saying, today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your heart, says in the provocation. He limited a certain day in David, saying, as over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. Notice it, the limited time that people have of getting right with God, God will not let continually the sinner or the backslider go on and on and on in their sins, defying him and just wallowing in the cesspools of iniquity. Oh no, he said he limits the time. Children of God, until we're saved, we love sin like a hog loves slop. After we are saved, our nature has changed. Amen. We're now averse to sin as a lamb or a sheep is averse to the muck and the mire. A hog will just lay in there and waller and enjoy it. But not our dear little lamb. His nature is averse to that. And it's distasteful to him. He don't want to get all mucky and dirty.
You don't even want to step in the mud.
Don't even want to step in it. You're right. Children of God, the Lord in his word, by his marvelous prophetic insight, tells us exactly the time. that the children of Israel will leave Egypt. And just that certain and just that exact and that precise God is concerning the coming of His Son Jesus. It is a fulfillment of a long-awaited prophecy. It is about 4,000, a little bit better, years have come and gone before finally the prophecy fulfilled. But we're going to look at the prophecy in just a minute in John. First of all, before we go to Genesis 3:15, I want to go over there to John in chapter 13, 19, and chapter 14, verse 29, and chapter 16, 4, chapter 18, 32, and we'll just go over slower in a moment. But I'm just giving you an advance. And see the purpose of prophecy. Some of you who are new in our class this morning, we're glad to welcome the newcomers. But the purpose of prophecy given by Almighty God, because two-fifths of the Bible is prophecy, God has a definite purpose in prophecy. What is the purpose? To satisfy your curiosity and mine about the future? No. Does God want us to know what the future holds? Yes. Therefore, He just lays it out there. But God has a singular purpose in prophecy. For your benefit and for mine, He has our interest at heart. Jesus reveals it here. With one purpose, remember this, before we are saved, we live in unbelief. Before I was saved, I was an atheist. To me, I didn't believe there was a God, no heaven, no hell. The Bible was not the Word of God, it's a book of men. But God in His marvelous grace had overhauled my thinking faculties. I believe that way because I was taught that way by the organization that I was in called the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism, known to all atheists as the AAAA. In that organization, they try to cram our minds with everything to contradict and to refute the Bible from being the Word of God. And I just lapped that up like a dog and a hog. I like that because I wanted to believe that away. I couldn't afford to believe that there was a God for the way I was living. I couldn't afford to believe this Bible because it had a sentence upon my conduct and a reproof for the way I was living. And I didn't want to be reproved. That's the reason why a sinner hates the children of God. Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that his deeds are evil. Whenever a child of God goes testifying about the deeds of people as being evil, it'll curdle their blood, and you won't have very much harmony. But children of God, I want you to know this morning, there is a definite purpose in prophecy, and because we, before we are saved, have our hearts loaded with unbelief, the Lord wants to reverse that process and literally feed faith into our hearts. We need it fed in there. You and I can't be saved without faith. We can't be kept without faith. We can't get answers to prayer without faith. We're not even justified without faith. We can't be sanctified without faith, nor be filled with the Holy Ghost without faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Since faith is essential in our salvation, as well as our whole life, for the just shall live by his faith. The Lord said the purpose of prophecy is to help your faith. Look with me now over there at verse 19. Verse 19. Here it is clearly said by the Lord Jesus, now I tell you before it come. In other words, I'm foretelling before what happens does happen, that when it does come to pass, ye may believe. See that? That I am He, the true, genuine, living Son of God, no counterfeit, no artificial. Because you see, the Jewish people, when that Lord Jesus was here, many of them believed that He was illegally born, that He was not the true Christ, that He was a false Christ, and He was a deceiver, and that's why He ought to be strung up.
Now notice carefully the fulfillment of this prophecy in its faith-building process. The next reference is in the 14th chapter, verse 29. He repeats identically the same thing over again, though the wording is not quite the same, yet the content is the same. It says, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, when it come to pass, ye might believe." The Lord says, when you see come to pass what I foretold to come to pass, and I'll be doing nothing to even make it come to pass, it has to come to pass because the scriptures cannot be broken, you will see that the words that I speak are not mine, but the Father which has sent me. He gave me a commandment what I ought to say and what I ought to speak. I speak not of myself, but is that my Father that speaketh in me, Brother Paul. There it is. He's not talking through me. Hallelujah. Now, here is a repeat of chapter 13:19. If you didn't get it, Jesus said the first round, I'm going to bring it by you again. That you might believe is the purpose of my giving of these prophecies and see their fulfillment. Now go with me to the next reference in chapter 16 and verse 4.
But these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them.
Now, when you see these things being unfolded, you'll know that it is exactly the way that I foretold it. Then go with me to the 18th chapter. Now, the Jews are actually falling in line with and are actually cooperating with Jesus' prophecy unintentionally. They are doing what Jesus said they would do. If they had their way, they'd have blocked and stopped the prophecy of Jesus that he would die at their hands from being fulfilled, to mess him up and to make him a false prophet. But here they're doing exactly what he said they would do, and they can't help themselves. Because they are being stirred up by their daddy, the devil. And the devil wants Jesus put out of the way and put out of business and be done for once and for all. And the devil knows that when you die and your toes are sticking up, that that's the end. And if he can stop him and keep him from accomplishing the redemptive work that was foretold he would accomplish, then he would literally have all this universe under his control. In other words, at the beginning, he had deceived one-third of the angels, led them into his band, seeking to overthrow God and pull him off his throne because he got the big head. And he realized that that fizzled. It didn't work out like he had planned it. For God booted him out, and Jesus said, I beheld Satan as, what? Lightning fall from heaven. I mean grease lightning. He came on out there in a hurry. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Listen to it, children of God. In his rebellion that failed, he said, I've got another plan. I'll make up for it. I got one-third of the angels. That's pretty good strength. If I can now undermine this new creation that Almighty God has put here on the earth, if I can get them on my side, if I can get them into sin, if I can deceive them, if I can take them captive, then all the people that they produce, all the generation that come out of them, I'll get on my side, and eventually I'll have enough strength and enough power to overthrow him. I'll get him on the second round. And if you want to know, if you are unsaved here this morning, why you are still unsaved, the devil's blinded your mind,
lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine into your heart and get you saved. The God of this world has done that. If our gospel is healed, it is hid to them that are lost. And the devil's a mind blinder, and not only does he know that faith comes by the word of God, but this Bible said this. Go with me over there to the book of Luke now in chapter 8 and verse 12. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. This is the passage of Scripture, children of God, that I think we ought to take a look at every once in a while, because we need to know what the devil's job is, what and how successful he is in accomplishing that end. In chapter 8 and verse 12, it tells us here the purpose. When the seed of the Word of God is sown in your heart, the incorruptible seed, because we're born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He said, Jesus said, in this parable of the sower and the seed, and the second one, by those who are by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. He knows who he is. And it says, and taketh away the word, wherefrom? Out of their hearts. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. The devil knows that the word of God is the faith producer. He's smart. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And he knows that the word of God is the faith producer. So if he can take the word of God out of people's heart, then they won't be born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. If he can put you to sleep in the class, he'll do it. If he can get your mind distracted and talking to somebody else, he'll do it. So that not only you're distracting somebody else, but you're not hearing what is being said, he don't want you to hear it. That's one reason why I never get disturbed, just like Brother Parks, bless his heart, I miss him here. But Brother Parks, we had ministering over there in the department, and while we were ministering the Word of God, and the anointing spirit was real strong as we were having a time in the second psalm, all of a sudden out there in the hall, just in the front entrance way, there were about three or four men talking real loud, trying to drown me out. I knew right then and there that I was encountering some opposition from the adversary, stirring up his children to try to hinder and disturb the Word of God from getting into people's hearts. And I mean, they just turned on him like they would rend him. Why? The enmity in their heart against hearing the Word of God. They didn't want to hear that Bible. And one of those fellows out there, I learned later on, was an atheist who was living over there. He don't want to hear that. Children of God, I want you to know this morning that when we, before we are saved, we are enemies of God. When we are enemies, we'll reconcile unto God by the death of his son. Hear it. Now, let's go a little further. Since the devil knows that faith is an essential element in salvation, and Jesus knows that it's the essential element in our salvation and also our greater strength in our walk with God, because not only are we justified by faith, we're kept by the power of God through faith, and we are sanctified by faith and filled with the Spirit of God by faith and get healing by faith. To keep that faith growing, it needs to be fed. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You see, you got to have faith, but it's a springboard to take you deeper on into faith. And the stronger our faith, the steadier we are. The weaker our faith, the more wobbly we are. Let me give you one other little scripture that'll just beautifully fit right in here. And that's over in the book of John, chapter 2, and verse 22. It says, when therefore Jesus was risen again from the dead, his disciples remembered. What did they remember? That he had said this unto them. He had already foretold that he would die and how he would die. And they remembered what he said unto them, and now notice the next words. And they believed the scriptures What else? And the word of Jesus. Children of God, when you believe the word of God, a great reverse process has gone on in your heart. Before we're saved, we disbelieve it. We reject it. After we were saved, God gives us enough facts, enough evidence. In fact, the man says this in the book of Acts chapter 1, I like this, that Jesus Christ showed himself alive after his passion with many infallible proofs. It's not in the Bible, but it's in a good place. Undeniable, irrefutable facts. He showed himself alive for 40 days, coming in and out amongst the disciples, assuring and reassuring them that I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Hallelujah, for as much as the children, that's us, are partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has power over death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. Children of God, I want you to know that the good God of heaven wants your faith steady and strong. This is the purpose of prophecy. Now I'm going to go, oh dear, I'm going now to Genesis 3:15. I'm just took this time to lay a foundation for it. But I'm going over to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and we'll just at least give you the introduction to it, and then we'll be proceeding with this subject in our following study. The Almighty God is saying something to Slewfoot, the devil himself. He's not talking to Eve. He's not talking to Adam. Talking to the devil. And I, notice the personal pronoun I, God's doing the talking. I will put enmity. It wasn't there before. It isn't there before we're saved. Not when we're children of the devil, we're buddied up to him. I'll put enmity between thee, serpent, and who else? The woman. Between thy seed and her seed. And what will be the result? It. What's that it stand for? When we get into that little old dinky word, but I'll tell you, it's packed with dynamite. You have to go over there to the book of Luke in chapter 2 to get some of the interpretation of it over there. And you have to also go to the book of Isaiah in chapter 7 to get a little more light on it, but we'll go into that then. My time's done gone, so I have to just abbreviate for now. It shall bruise thy head. Notice that. This enmity and the it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise. Notice the language now. Instead of it, in the neuter gender, instead of that, he puts his heel. So the it has reference to a person. It. And you're going to bruise his heel. As far as you can strike at him, as only far as you can reach at him, it's just to get to his heel. But he is going to strike you in the head. And anybody that just see this now in that typology, beautiful. He's talking to the serpent. Where is the poison in a snake? In the head, the poison. In the head came the poison fed into Adam and Eve's heart by the devil. Coming from the head. And the Lord's going to bruise his head. And he then, the serpent, as far as you can go, is to strike at his heel. And we'll get into the meaning of that next week. Some of you say, I'll declare I read that and it never made sense and don't now. Well, by the time we get through, it's going to. Why did God put it that way in his Bible? Because he wants you and me to be students of the Word and ask him to reveal it to us. What things knows a man? Say the spirit of man in him. So the things that God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. And he to whomsoever he will reveal them. When God reveals this thing to us, I'll tell you, children of God, we'll have a camp meeting around here. And if I have a running fit, some of you do, you won't disturb me one bit. Bless God forever. I mean, we're on shouting grounds when we see the purpose of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. When he who came to set us free. Hallelujah. No longer a prisoner of Satan, Brother Paul, and Brother Hayden. I tell you this, he liberated me. And every one of you who are saved, he's liberated you too. And we're going to just see how it begins to unfold in such a carefully worded way. God didn't give full revelation then because he's going to tackle that more on and supply more details later on. But he laid the seed plot right here in Genesis 3:15 and the first prophecy in the Garden of Eden in the world's historic morning was a promise that we who have been defiled by Satan and sin can have a remedy for our defilement. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the marvelous grace that brought salvation. You said in your own word, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word and for the privilege of ministering it during these past 43 years. And as long as we're in this world and as long as you give us breath, we trust that you'll keep us in there expounding the word until that brighter and better day on the sunny shores of sweet deliverance will tell how we overcame and how we encourage and strengthen each other on the journey and how our souls being nourished were made strong so that we were not a pushover for the devil. Those who are unsaved here this morning have been blinded and deceived and beguiled by the enemy. Lord, may some seeds from the Word of God planted in their heart produce saving faith so that they can be born again and transformed and made the children of God. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.